Ayashandara musiki alabako. Imete handara masuku to rapapapachi. Yashokoto to wasaki. Imenesandara wasaki. My daughter, you will never be useless. You don't know. You are like a bank vault. You have treasures of wisdom hidden inside of you. All the wisdom, all you have endured through your marriage with Pastor Jim, your life with Pastor Jim, the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. You were there. No one else but you. You know the ins and outs it takes to be a pastor's wife. You know what it takes to stay there. You know what it takes to be there. You know what it takes when to open your mouth, when to keep your mouth closed. You know it all. That bank bar, that reservoir that's in you, it's there, and it will continue and continue and continue to build. Because that you have has to be given out. And as you so plainly put it about the ministers here in this body that are ministering now, they have wives, and you're going to have to be the one to share with them. When they hit that rock, or they hit that wall, or they hit that rough spot, they're going to have somebody to come to that has already experienced this. My daughter, that's you. That's you. You will always be a part of this body, and you will always have a place in this body. You help raise this body. So never listen to the enemy. Remember, God loves you, and he will always love you. And you will continue to be blessed by all the days that you have left. You are loved. You are loved. You are treasured. And the wisdom of God continue to be built up in you, saith the Lord.
There is a new day on the horizon. There is a new season and a new time. Some of you haven't embraced the new season. Some of you aren't looking forward to the new time. But I'm telling you now, it is a new season and it is a new time of my anointing. It is a new season and a new time for my will to be done. It is a new season and a new time for you to go to a different place. You can't carry old baggage to the new place. You got to go to the new place with a new vision, a new heart. You have to go to the new place seeking me for what it is you are called to do, for where you are to line up, to make the circle of anointing around this house and around this city. For my word to go forth, you have to be open for my word. Not what you want, not the way you want it, but you have to submit yourself to my word. You have to have a teachable and correctable spirit. You have to let the word that is manifested to you by the Holy Spirit be your light and be your guide. I know that you want what has already been spoken, but I've already said you're walking in the promised land. But I have a word for this season and this time. I have a vision where you're to go and how it is to be. For I'm telling you, you will take your place and take this city. I don't care what it looks like. The liberals do not have Austin, Texas. And you are going to be the voice that shouts the victory of the Lord. I'm telling you, look unto the Lord. Look unto the Spirit of the Lord, and you will see what you are called to do and where you are called to be. This is a new season and a new day. Walk ye in it.
This time we're going to get ready to release the kids for Kingdom Kids. Before we do that, I was trying to take care of some stuff and make sure I was right in line as far as the Spirit of God. We want to also, before we do that, we want to honor one of our very own who I believe is heading to Texas Bible Institute. Or we just want to speak a blessing over our brother Will. And again, I would like to encourage those who have taught and sowed into brother Will, if you can come forward, and we just want to just love on you and honor you. We know that God has great things in store for you. I know there's a lot of people that raised and saw him go from this to where y'all at? We just want to speak a blessing as you head to Texas Bible Institute. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, you have used each of these individuals to sow into Brother Will's life, Father, and he has blessed us in more ways than we may have blessed him, Father. And so we thank you for him, Father. We thank you for the work that you've called him to, Father. We just speak your blessings on him, Father. We just speak your grace, your honor just follows him, your goodness, Father. And we just thank you for him and his family, how much they have sown and given to this church, how they continue to do that, Father. We say that he is such a blessing to this body, and we know that he will be a blessing where he goes, Father, that he will flow in your revelation knowledge, Father, that he will flow in your signs and wonders, Father, that you will raise him up, that you will stir the gifts that you've placed in him, Father. And so we, as an act of our will, as an act of our faith, Father, we lay hands on him, Father, just decreeing, Father, that your kingdom will, plan, and purpose will be manifest, Father, and he is going to do exploits on behalf of you, and he will know you and make you known, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As of, I guess he's leaving sometime this week, next Saturday. So as of next Sunday and beyond, the average height that House of Laura will be a little bit, a little bit less. Man, well, he's definitely such a blessing. Father, thank you for our Kingdom Kids. They are blessed, Father. They've got great leaders. They've got great teachers there, Father. And we just decree that out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. We thank you, Father, that our kids are taught to follow after you, to seek you, Father. And the word is sown into their hearts, Father. And we thank you for those who are doing that. We just decree your blessing on them and their lives, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. The youth will be staying here in assembly, and little kids and other bigger little kids, you're free to go.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Yes.
musician of praise as Brother Damon comes to minister the word of God to us this morning.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, my mom made me watch Schoolhouse Rock. Praise God. Awesome, awesome. Man, it's been, I can truly say it's been great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. But the word of God must go forth. Amen. Praise God. Y'all have already kind of preached all of it with what God has put on me to share with me to share with you guys this morning. You know, last week, man, I really hate I couldn't be here. I was trying to watch as much as I could from my computer. I mean, from my phone. We were setting up our lander in Iowa. And I kept thinking, brother, we need you. Okay, just let me watch this second part, little part right here. But I was able to go back and watch the live stream. But it was awesome. And y'all were dressed to the T. Everybody was looking clean, and it was a blessed time. But just to see, and the word that Sister Gail had, just the new season that God is bringing to this body, it's refreshing, you know. I mean, it's a sad chapter of Pastor not here, but he's here because of what he put in us. So we just turn the page and just continue on. He's not dead at all. You know what I'm saying? But the reality of it is just that God is doing some awesome things. And it's how we look at it. It's the perspective of how we look. You can sit and moan and groan about the old times, or you can look ahead to what God is desiring and wanting to do through us. And so I would just encourage you, just like the song that we said, God, give us vision to see things like you do. And I'm going to tell you right now, God doesn't see us defeated and sitting sad. If we're sitting like that, it's our fault. It's not God's fault. But his vision for us is success and prosperity and us walking in the power and demonstration of his spirit in the earth. Amen. And so I would just encourage you, if you ever get those moments where those lies start trying to invade you of, you know, man, I don't feel like anything's happening. In fact, you know what? You are the greatest prophet in your future. You see these empty chairs? I want us, every assembly we come into, if you got an empty chair around you, you speak to it and say, you are filled. You are filled. But if we sit here wondering when people are going to come, no. You call those chairs filled. All these empty chairs that we see around us, call them filled. We've seen what happens when we speak the word of God to storms, to anything that has tried to oppose us as a body. And so, like I said, when those lies come, not just with, you know, just your individual life, but us as a church saying, man, it doesn't feel like we're going to grow. Liar, don't say that. Don't speak that. But speak and decree that God is bringing the people that he desires to be a part of this body. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. So last week, I was in, man, it was a whirlwind weekend because I got off work, went and flew to Minneapolis, and then I had a connecting flight to Sioux Falls, got in bed at about 12:30, after midnight, and then 6 a.m., we was on the road for a three-hour drive to Millbank, where we recorded the little video for Pastor Richard, and then spent all day there doing ministry. And then went to bed at 1 o'clock, hit the road at 5 a.m. to drive another 3 hours to Lamar's, Iowa, stayed there all day, and then came back to Sioux Falls, which is like a two-hour drive from Lamar's, Iowa. Thank God, whoever booked my hotel, the hotel was literally, you opened the door and you were right in the airport. But the sad reality was I only got like a little nap because my flight was at 5:01 a.m., And so I flew back to Minneapolis, had a long layover in Minneapolis, got back in Austin at noon on Monday, and went straight to work. That's the biggest mistake I could have made because I was back-to-back with students, and I figured, oh, it's just 4 hours. That was the longest 4 hours us. But it was, you know what? At the end of the day, it was all worth it. For seeing God move in a community, see people's lives change, it was worth it. It was just worth it. And so what I wanted to do with you is just share a recap video. The ministry that we sometimes travel with is called Lifelight. And Lifelight will normally go out to different cities, especially smaller towns and cities, and like in the middle of wherever the town square, wherever the biggest area where you can get people to congregate is where they'll usually have these outreaches. And it's amazing. You're going to see a continuity that I'm going to build on, but I want you to watch. These are the recap videos that they put together of what happened last Saturday in Milbank and then also what happened in Lamar's, Iowa. So, Will, if you could go ahead and run that. Volume. Run it back, please.
Well, our goal has really been to try to bring the...
Thank you.
Milbank, South Dakota. Thousands of people gathered in the park for a festival, and you might be wondering, well, what is a festival? Well, our goal has really been to try to bring the church outside of the walls, unify our spiritual community here in Milbank, and then reach the lost that are not being reached currently in our community. And we found that partnering with Lifelight is the best way to do that. They have been so phenomenal at bringing in shows that have just glorified the Lord and helped people really open their hearts to what God wants to do in and through their lives. So many of the things that go on in a festival, God uses to break down walls that people have. Let's face it, some people are never going to darken the door of a church because it's just too intimidating. But a festival like this, where there's bouncy houses, there's motorcycles, there's bands, there's concerts, it's the full package. But what God does through that is he begins to break down walls that people have set up in their lives and open up their hearts to the love of God that wants to be poured into them. And it's what it's really all about. We as a church, we want to be those who are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, showing the love of God to a lost and broken world. And Lifelight has been an amazing venue and a tool to be able to partner with to be able to accomplish that goal.
Declared in everything, whether it's athletes on
or musicians on stage or someone painting something on a kid's face. The idea of showing our talents and giving the glory to God and also serving one another.
Great way to spend the weekend. Seeing lives change. You know, it's a lot of work that goes into putting those on, but when you see the result of those people at the end of the night and throughout the day going to the prayer tent and being delivered from things and receiving Christ, some of them for the first time, it's amazing. It's just it becomes infectious. You want to see more of it. And that's what, just like what the brother said, you know, the desire to be the hands and feet of Jesus, that's what it's about, and that's what people need to see. You know, one of the things that we don't sometimes realize is the importance of the individual. Each one of us, we have a vital role to play, so don't ever think that your little bit that you have to bring is not vital. It's extremely important. Because if you take it away, there's a part of the body that's missing. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, the power of one, the power of one, each one reaching one, the power of one. You know, it's easily to see that in history we see this, that one individual, it took one individual to declare the Emancipation Proclamation that changed a whole nation. But it also took one individual who decided that he was going to rise up and conquer the world and cause death, destruction. One person can make a difference for good or for bad. And so the question that comes to mind is, what are we going to be? What are we going to do with our one that we are? I want us to look at something. I'm going to share this, but it made me go, and I wanted to just look at the people that Christ handpicked as the 12. You know, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me or that he showed me. I don't speak anything that he hasn't told me to speak, and I don't do anything that he hasn't told me to do. So obviously, because of these 12, he picked them for a reason. He handpicked them for a reason. So I just want to look at these 12 guys that he picked. So we start with, and this is based on the earliest noted appearance of them in the Gospels, and specifically in Mark's Gospel. But Peter, you know, the redneck Peter. We know he was a fisherman from Capernaum. John says it was from Bethsaida, but he's also often known as Simon or Simon Peter or Cephas. Cephas comes from the Aramaic for rock, or Peter, which comes from the Greek equivalent of the same word. You know, Jesus said upon this rock, the revelation that came out of Peter, he was going to build his church. Andrew, who was his brother, was also his fishing partner. John's gospel says that Andrew was the first disciple of John the Baptist. So we got Peter, we got his brother Andrew. James was the son of Zebedee and a fisherman from Capernaum. He's also called James the Great in later tradition. John, who was James' brother and partner in the family fishing business, and maybe because they were brazen, they were given a name by Mark as the two brothers. They were named Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, which means if you said something bad, you might get in trouble with those two. They'll cut you. Reference of that, Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, just to kind of give you an idea. Then we have Philip, who was from Bethsaida also, another town on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. Bartholomew, now this member of the 12 doesn't get a lot of press, but simply there aren't enough stories about him apart from the list of the 12. But since the 9th century, some people have wondered if he's the Nathanael that's mentioned in John chapter 1, verses 45 through 51, and also 21, verse 12. Why, you may ask, is because Nathanael is a normal first name of Bartholomew, and also the surname of the Greek, which is based on the Aramaic word Bartelmai, which means son of Talmai. We have Matthew, the tax collector. This reference that we have of Matthew in Mark is that he was at the toll. He also was given the name Levi, but never listed among the 12, but he was called out by Christ. Then we have Thomas, or twin in Aramaic as it's called, which doubting Thomas because he doubted Christ's resurrection until he could actually touch him physically. He's also called Didymus Thomas, which is also meaning twin. And this is found twice in both the Greek and Aramaic for him. James, the son of Alphaeus, who's also later tradition is called James the Less, not to be confused with James the Great, as we mentioned earlier. This is a different James. It was obviously a popular name during that time. So then we have another Simon who's listed as the Canaanian, which means zealous or zealot in Aramaic. And in Matthew and Mark, he was called literally the zealot, which was the Greek equivalent of that time. We find that in Luke. Thaddeus, there's a bit of controversy when it comes to this 11th disciple, because in Mark and Matthew, he's called Thaddeus. Luke, on the other hand, also gave him the name Jude, for whatever reason, the son of James. And then last but not least, we have Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. But he picked him. The same God, miracles flowed through Judas, believe it or not. The hand of God flowed through Judas. And you know, I was looking at it. Jesus gave him the opportunity to fess up. He gave him that opportunity.
And he got the taste and touch of everything good.
Everything good. Absolutely. But you say, why, Brother Damon, why are you giving us this listing of all the 12 disciples? Because he handpicked every last one of them, y'all. Just like, you know what? He decided before the foundation of the world, he handpicked each and every one of you that are here in this room. And he gave the mandate, the ultimate mandate, or the great commission that we find in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. He said, go and take what I've put. He told these 12, he said, take what I've put in you, make disciples of all the people groups. And he said, know that I'm with you even to the end of the age. And guess what? The pause button never hit on that commandment. That's our job, to continue to raise up disciples, learners of Christ, followers of Christ, who will go to the end. Like Brother Ken was saying, let it not just be something we do on Sunday and Wednesday, but let it be a lifestyle of demonstrating him to the earth. And the one thing that we have to realize, and this is what a lot of times the enemy will get us off track in reaching out to people, because we feel if it's not done in some grandiose fashion, if it's not done in some organized way, that we're not doing it right. No, it starts with that one person at your job that you tell of the goodness of God to. It starts with that one person that for some reason it's a cashier and you feel like sharing with them something. They look like their day is just distraught, and you tell them, you know what, you're doing a great job. That seed alone and what you share with them, being that one individual, you don't know what impact that it has on them. Now, for sometimes it might just be you laying that seed in their life, but sometimes it might you literally being a part of their life and them seeing the reality of Christ lived out through you. That's what we have to be aware of, church family. It's not about how big of a massive group of people. No, it starts with one individual. Even the people that Jesus ministered to, you see, it was always a one-on-one. And, so, and you know what was interesting? Some of those people were of the lineage of David. They were Jews. Some of them were just rank sinners. You know what I'm saying? But the people that even were of the household of David, guess what? They had issues. They had stuff that had to be resolved. They were blind. They were mute. They had things going on, and he delivered them from those things, just like he did from the people who had no idea. And that's what we have to be cognizant of, is that God has a role for each one of us to minister to people no matter where they are. The thing that we have to be is sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be willing to be those vessels who will allow the Spirit of God to flow through us at a moment's notice to give hope to those people that they'll be changed. Many times we're so focused on souls coming into kingdom that we look past the individual soul, especially the one who could be in our presence and life all the time. These people could be, like I said, in and outside the household of faith that we minister to, just like the people who Christ ministered to. But the prerequisite is being open to the Lord's leading, being open, being vessels, and say, Lord, whoever you want me to speak to this day, just like Pastor used to say one thing about being a witness, even in how you operate at work. Be the first one there. Be the last one to leave. Go that extra mile. But you know what? Get there early for one reason: to pray, to cover that place. Say, this, because I'm here. That's why I say, you know, all this stuff that was happening on college campuses with shootings and stuff, not on my campus, not while I'm there, because when I'm there, the kingdom of God is there. So we're not having that here. So we just arrested at the door. We're not having that. And that's the way we need to be. It's like getting our place wherever we work, wherever we say, this is the kingdom of God is established in this place because I'm here. Now, because of that, Holy Spirit, let me be attentive to who you want me to minister to this day, who you want me to encourage this day, who you want me to give a word that will be life-changing to this day. And God will do that. You don't think God is going to answer that prayer? You want to be a vessel open to minister to someone and give them his life? He'll flow through us when we're open to that. Luke chapter 15, turn with me if you will there. And we're going to look at several passages. And I was just, what God laid this on my heart, because I was thinking, I was talking with my brother Tim, and we was looking at I don't know if you saw a little clip that I had, but it's a shirt that we wear, and it says, I'm from team one. That means I'm that one. I'm that one that he was willing to go after. And so we're going to look at some passages. Let's look from the very beginning here. Jesus talking about the lost sheep. Now look at the backdrop of this. It says, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Okay, so they're coming to receive the wisdom from the Messiah. And it says, both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Now I find that really interesting. They're here to receive of him, the one that's given life, the one that's speaking the words of life, and they're grumbling about it. That's something that doesn't compute there. So that's what religion does. Religion is like, you're not clean enough to come to our church. You're not, see, that's what I'm saying. We have to be mindful even with that, because we get in this mindset. We don't have that here by the grace of God. But in the body of Christ, it becomes such a members-only club that when someone looks a little different or they appear a little different, we want to act like they can't come to God. Why? It's not a closed membership. It's like whosoever will, let them come. And so that's the way our attitude towards people. I'm telling you, get ready. When the people with the tattoos and the piercings all over the place, when they come, we're going to see how much of the love of Christ we have. When they sit right and sit, not sit next to you, but sit in your seat, we'll see how much love we have. But get ready. But that's who God wants. Literally, he wants us to be the hands and feet of Christ to those people, loving them. Because guess what? They don't know what love is. They haven't experienced that love. And God wants to flow that love through us to them. But let's go on in the parable here that Christ is saying. So it says, so he told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Do you see what he said here? He said that all of heaven is having a block party over just one. One. And so that's what I'm saying. The power of that one individual. You don't realize what could happen if the Lord gets a hold of that individual that comes into the body and receives life. We have no idea what God will do through that individual. We have no idea. So we can't negate the fact that God wants that one individual to come and be blessed. And I'm reminded of the story that Pastor used to tell us about Moffitt. You know, Moffitt was the result of this evangelist who had ministered and had a revival, a week of revival in this place. And there were no salvations except on the very last day, one little kid. And the man turns in his resignation. He's like, I feel like I failed the ministry because all we have is just this little kid. Well, that little kid went on to do some amazing things for the kingdom, so much so he has his own translation of the Bible. So you can never negate what God wants to do through an individual. Jesus goes on and talks about another parable. He says, or what woman, verse 8, what woman if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she is found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. Once again, in the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We can never, ever have a closed mind on who God wants to bring into the kingdom. And I just want us to, I want that to be something that we continually keep before us. Because as we grow as a church body, there are going to be opportunities for us to want to keep things status quo. But don't ever negate the fact that if you notice when these gentlemen were talking, if you notice it started with one pastor. They normally interview that one pastor who reached out to them to bring a festival to the city. And each one of those gentlemen represented that one church, that one group that said, we want to bring this to our city. But look what happened as a result of that one person. That whole community was changed. And so one church, we can make a difference if we set our minds in that direction. And one individual. We've had these things on the wall for years. Once again, they're not wall decorations. You're that one individual that in these spheres of influence, God has called each one of us. And if you don't know which one you're in, I guarantee if you ask the Lord to show you, he will definitely show you. And it doesn't take very much. Just look at what you're passionate about. If they woke you up in the middle of the night and ask you, what do you want to see change in? That's a good indication of what sphere you're in. And God calls each one of us to these areas to use our gifts, our abilities, our talents, the expertise that he blesses us with to change them. But not just in changing them, changing the individuals that are in them depending on worldly ideas, worldly manners. And we introduce the kingdom truth into those things. And they're like, how in the world can you do what I do with less effort and get more done? I'm glad you asked. And we have an open door to minister to that one individual and see their whole perspective changed. And that's what God wants. God wants people free to experience who he is, but he's going to use you and I to do that. And he's going to use the gifts and talents that he's placed in each one of us to impact that one or that few or however many he brings in our lives. But keep in mind, like I said, it takes a heart that is open, that's willing to be that conduit of his anointing to flow through and see those people's lives changed. If you remember January 11th, that was a Sunday, if you recall. we had an all-hands staff meeting, and God reminded me of this, and Brother Richard had asked us to share, the ministers to share whatever God had laid on our hearts. And so one of the things that God shared with me, he said, it's time for us to be a spark. Those of you who were there, you might remember. And he gave me the way he broke it down. He said, many times we think that church growth comes simply from an invitation. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. But we know, sadly, to admit that the church universal has done such a bad job of representing Christ by bickering or by religious motivations of not representing him fully. Many folks are non-trusting of believers. You know, and it could be a bona fide believer living as best as they can, trusting the Lord. But that individual that's not of the kingdom sees them, and they immediately have to filter through all of the mess that they've seen. And immediately they're like, don't compute. I don't care what you say. I did that church thing. I'm done with it. You can change that. It's imperative for us to have that four-letter word. We have to care for people, and it has to be genuine. We have to care for folks before we just want to add to the church role. And so it takes a spark to ignite that flame. You know, we talk about this little light of mine. That light is done for one thing, to penetrate the darkness. Your little light is not so little when you expose it to the darkness. That darkness is gonna change. It has no, you put any inkling of light in darkness, it's going to impact and manifest change. But if you get more lights, more individual lights together, that darkness really begins to dissipate. So we want to be that. We want to be sparks that ignite the flame. So that S. Now, spark, I misspelled it for the sake of what I'm talking about. So instead of S-P-A-R-K, you replace the K with a C. We will delineate on each one of those. So the S, seek. We need to seek. Seek out those individuals or group of individuals that we can speak the word into their lives. But make sure that it's Holy Spirit led. If the Lord directs you, obviously, you know, it's amazing. And I just want to put a pause on that seeking. When I go to these festivals and I'm asking God, God's give me the words to say to people. Sometimes it's like Pastor Jim used to say, almost like somebody please record this because I don't know where this is coming from. But I'm sharing stuff with people that I've never met, that I don't know. And I'm like, but it's the Holy Spirit. He knows. He knows what those people need. And I'm there as a conduit. And so he's using me. That's how God wants it to be every single day of our lives. And it's mind blowing. I mean, you see people and you're like, And it's not everybody. It's not everybody, but me doing my part to reach the few people that he places around me. And some of these people, guess what, are believers. Some of them are believers, but bound by lies, by things that the enemy has told them they can't. What Brother Joel was saying a few weeks ago, believers unnecessarily bound by things that they don't need to be bound by. And so when you just shed that light of the gospel, the light of truth, it revolutionizes their mindset. And that's what God wants. He wants his people free. Yeah. Not those, only those who've never received the gospel, but even those who know the truth, but for whatever reason, whether it be things from their past or whatever, God wants to use each one of us to break those shackles off of individuals. But we have to be willing and open to seek them. The Holy Spirit will give you the vision to say, that's the one. That's the one. And when you do, they're like, but God, I don't know what I'm going to say. If you obey him and keep walking, by the time you get to him, I guarantee you, there's going to be some deposit that he's placed in you that immediately you're going to know what to do. You're going to know what to say. That's just how he does it. It makes no sense to say, I'm going to pray to God and he's going to open my eyes to see who to minister to, but not expect him to give us the words. He promised that. He said, if you go out, I'm going to fill your mouth with my words. But you got to go. You got to seek it. He's not going to push you to him. You got to be willing to go. The P, provoke. Provoke them to see
the goodness of God that's displayed in your life. The biggest thing that can change people is not just preaching the word. I mean, you can definitely preach the word to people. But I remember one time when we were in college, I'll never forget this, and there was a young guy that I was sharing the gospel with. He was unsaved, was sharing the gospel. And he was looking at me like this. And I was like, I was baffled. I was like, well, God, I was giving him your word. And God said, yeah, but it was a foreign language to him because he doesn't have the revelation knowledge to discern what you're showing him. So I said, well, God, what am I supposed to do? He said, show them the gospel lived out through your life. In other words, share your testimony. And I had an opportunity, I was sharing with a gentleman about what happened with our daughters. I was sharing with him, and he was just like, wow, only God could do something like that. And I was like, absolutely. People can see that. They can see that, and by provoking them to see it, you reveal to them, if God did that for them, what can he do for my situation that looks impossible? He did it for them. They came out of it. You see what I'm saying? Provoke them to see that your God that you're talking about is not just some imaginary character, but he does what he says he does in his word. The A, attentive. Be attentive to their struggles and challenges and issues that they're dealing with. You know, the first thing that a lot of times religious people do, they don't want to have a listening ear. You know, people came to Jesus and they used to tell, they would say all kinds of things to him. But I never see him putting them down when they shared. He just gave him his perspective to deal with it. And when he gave them, dealt with their situation. People a lot of times just need someone to talk to. They just need someone to share. And sad to say, most religious people are quicker to judge rather than listen. And a lot of times, you know what? By listening, by being attentive, the Holy Spirit can begin giving you the download of what you need to set that person free. By just being there to just listen, not only to them, but let him give you the wisdom to share with what they're going through. But your attentiveness to them, your attention to them, you know, that's why pastors used to say when people, talking to church family here, when people come into the body visiting, we need to make sure we make a beeline and let those people know you are loved, God cares for you, he has a plan for you. Because most people will come to most churches and nobody will ever say a word to them. But we're not like that. So even not only in church, but even in dealing with individuals that God brings in your life, be attentive. Be open to what's going on in their lives. Allow them to speak, and then the Holy Spirit speak through you and bring freedom. R, respond. Respond to the latter part of what I just said, being attentive to what they say. Respond in prayer and intercession. Standing in the gap, making up the hedge is what the word says. Being there, okay, so if God doesn't immediately give you the revelation of what they shared, guess what? You can go to your prayer closet and you can start praying for that individual every day. I think Brother Kenneth mentioned this in a message. You start praying for that individual, and then when all of a sudden they start talking about the situation, wait a minute, that's not even in my life anymore. I wonder why. Because someone's been praying for them. Someone's been taking the issue that was in their life and bringing it before God. And after a while, that person sees that thing just gone, and they wonder why. And it's because you've been that conduit of his grace. You've been there and delivered them from that thing. And a lot of times when you share with them, guess what? I've been praying for you. What? And they see the results of those prayers. The C, the last part of it. After they have seen a genuine care and concern for them from you, from prayer, from intercession, from sharing and encouraging them, they're going to want to know one thing. Why are you the way you are? Why? I'm just curious. Why do you care for me? And then the second thing they want to know is, how are you getting this information? Bingo. Why don't you come with me? We got family day coming up. That's connecting them to the source from where you get fed. And at that point, the Holy Spirit can do the rest of the work. And if they're supposed to be a part of this body, that's how I know I came to House of the Lord. Because once my brother, I'll never forget, in our dorm room, man, I know a place where we can eat Sunday. That was the hook. But when I got here, and saw people who actually, and I'll never forget, Sister Jan reached out. It was a group of us sitting, and we were just like, we saw all this stuff happening around us. And we're like, oh, my God. But she said, you are here for a purpose. God wants you here for a purpose. And that hunger began to grow. That was one individual that spoke into our lives, but there's been many ones that God spoke. And now God has raised up others who are the ones. Each one of y'all, every day in your spheres of influence and the people you come in contact with, speak the word of God into people's lives, whether it's intentionally or behind their back. You be that one to bring change into the life of that one and see what God can do. I wrote this down. Let's be the lighthouses. What is a lighthouse? A lighthouse, if you notice and you ever see a lighthouse, that thing is pretty strong. It's hard to knock it down. It's not coming down easily. It's planted. It's sure. It's dependable. It's steadfast. Be the lighthouses that God has called us to be, and others will be drawn to the shore of God's peace and purpose. Be the light, always shining bright, and others will have sight to walk in what is right. That's what God has called us to be. And those people that he has, like I said, it's something as simple as speaking to these chairs, prophesying and telling them they're filled. But not, like I said, not just for us to have a big church. No, but for us to have people who God desires to be part of this body, and people who have an essential element to bring to this body. There are people out there who God has specifically spoken to be a part of this body, but for whatever reason, they've been robbed or been disobedient. But we can begin to decree that, God, their eyes are open to see your will, plan, and purpose. They hear your voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Every joint that God desires for House of the Lord is coming together. So let's purpose to decree that. Let's purpose to speak that and see it realized, but not just in church, but in the spheres of influence and the people that we come in contact with, to decree that one individual that's going to come in contact with me, the Holy Spirit is going to download what I need, and the freedom that he has for them is going to be manifested. Amen. That's all I have. Praise God. Let's purpose, church family, to be, as my brother Josh said in the video, let's purpose to be the hands and feet of Christ, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but every single day of our lives, manifesting the will, plan, and purpose of the Father. Amen? Amen. Pastor Richard.
Praise God. Actually, lower. Good word. If the words that you heard this morning are stirring in your heart and you want prayer, you want affirmation, you want hands, you want to be bolder, you want to be set free from intimidation, to let your light shine in that dark place, because, you know, there's dark places. We're just going to invite you to come on down. If you feel like you need help in that area or want help in that area, the word has been spoken. We expect the truth to bring freedom. Amen? Amen. Amen. While you're working on that, Anytime, yes. We've got a couple of We're going to be out of here very soon, but we got a couple of more things to do. Okay, we're gonna do that. We're gonna, in just a few minutes, we'll have the ministers come up and invite everybody to come down. And God said He would meet us here. Bring what you've got to share real quick.
I heard this in my spirit when the ministry was going forth, and I just asked God, show me if or when to share it. And I believe this is the time. I just kind of held on to it. I hope you understand that you have, Team One, been challenged today, because the Lord said He gave the gifts, the ministry, the fivefold ministry that we have in place, not so that a church would be known for the fivefold ministry in that church, not so that people would be drawn to that church so that they could be ministered to by the fivefold ministry, not so the fivefold ministry could write books on being the fivefold ministry. And sadly, that's what a lot of the church has been over the decades. It's been about one name. It's been about one person, two or three people that were raised up. But the truth is that these men and women that God has raised up are to equip us to do the work of the ministry, to equip you so that you're known in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your discussion group, whatever you're a part of, wherever you're a part of it, whatever you do, that you are equipped to lay hands on the sick and they recover, that you are equipped to cast out demons, that you are equipped to teach and minister the word of God to those that need it. And to sort of tag on to that, House of the Lord is in a time of transition. And there is a minister by the name of Lance Wall now. Some of you have heard of him. He says, you are at your most vulnerable when you are in a place of transition, especially when it's following a time of loss. So understand that the enemy desires to sift you as wheat. He desires to tell you things don't feel right. They don't feel comfortable. This is different. Most people don't like change. We don't like it when things are different. But if you can understand that it's all for the good, it was already planned way back there, probably before you ever came into this body, from before the foundation of the world, that a transition would happen. And if you can picture in your mind maybe the phrase, the herd is on the move. When the herd is on the move, who are the ones that get culled out by the lions, whatever the carnivores are in the area? The ones that sort of hang behind, the ones that don't stay with the group, the ones that maybe don't have the nourishment that they need. We need to be continuing to be fed on the Word of God to stay strong and understand that when things look weird or strange or different, run to Him, because He's the one that knows your place. And I'll stop it with this little story. This is how I have felt. A little boy that was going on a trip with his family. They're going on vacation. They're headed up north. He's 6 years old. He's just learning to read. He's reading every billboard all the way up there. Finally, his parents are so thankful he went to sleep, got a little rest. Suddenly, they hear a gasp from the back seat. He has awakened. What happened? I must have forgotten how to read. Suddenly, he can't read anything. Well, they had crossed over into Canada, and everything was in French on the billboard. So it was like everything I knew, everything I had just learned and was so excited about, suddenly it doesn't seem to apply. It feels different. It's uncomfortable. And for 10 years, I have come to the office here at House of the Lord and known what I was supposed to do. And suddenly, I began coming in, and I was like, what do I do, God? I feel lost. I feel like I'm not sure what's happening. And he said, you're going to have to follow me. And he said it with a twinkle in his eye, because it's time to change. It's time to transition. Things are going to be different. In the middle of assembly, Brother Ken's going to go over and start whispering to Brother Brian, and we're going to be like, what's going on? What's up? stuff's changing, stuff is happening. Be excited. Be ready, but stay hooked up. Understand that it's different. It may not feel comfortable, but it's for the better. We are in that transition. Don't let go. Don't let the enemy talk you into staying home, making you think there's no point for you anymore. You know, you were to Pastor Jim, his wife, the pastor's wife, but that's not what you were to us. You were Sister Lou, and you still Sister Lou, and you still necessary. And so when the enemy tries to bring these things to us to say, well, you know, it's not like it used to be, praise God, it's different, and I will embrace the change, and I will listen. There is a word that Brother Brad had given. How many of you have gone back and looked at it? It was 1 month before our pastor went home. And he says the cornerstone that was established by the apostle, that would be Pastor Jim, he has laid the stone. And it's not going to be a cornerstone that many think it will be. It will be a multitude of graces. This is a different house. It's the same house. It's a different season that God is bringing us into, a multitude of graces, a multitude of ministries. Will you hook up with that and be trained and take that charge to step into what God has called you to?
That's what I was trying to say. Could we get somebody to move this, please? Thank you, guys. We're just going to, ministers, if you would come on down, y'all as well. We're just going to invite you to come down. Whether you think you need something or not, you need it. We need boldness. We need strength and wisdom. So if you would, this is an invitation. Not that for a particular thing, but we're just going to release the anointing on your life. We prayed for the ministers. We released the anointing to flow through them. Now we're going to pass it down one more time to you guys. If you are serious about being a light and being what God has called you to be and to do what God has called you to do, please come. Hallelujah. DJ, if you would, start that music again.
Thank you.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I believe because we were obedient, we released the word, we released the power of God. Now, whether or not, if you got prayed for, you felt the whiz bang and the shutters and the whatever else, that doesn't matter. The anointing has been released. So God is good. God is good. God is good. We want to be a blessing to Brother Damon. He brought the word. I know some have left, but God's still faithful. Reach in your pocket and grab 20 or 50 or a couple of hundreds and put in the bucket up here when we're done, and be a blessing to Brother Damon. He brought the word to us. He is worthy of his hire. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been good to be in the house this morning, this afternoon. Go grab something to eat and fellowship with each other, and we will see you on Wednesday, if not before. Amen. I call you blessed. Everywhere you go, you are light shining in the darkness. You are the sweet smell of God's presence in every area. Everything you put your hand to prospers and is successful. The enemy and every weapon formed against you does not prosper. Amen. You are blessed. Go with God.